All right, good morning again. Listen, we're continuing our reset series, and what better way to begin that by just having the illustration of these five people being baptized, because all five of those people, they hit the reset on their life this morning. Because see, that's really the key. The way to hit the reset button on your life is through Christ. You know, don't you wish you could hit the reset button? Well, you can't. You know, just like you do on your computer or on your router, you know when it's all messed up and it's not running right, you hit the reset button and hopefully it defaults to the factory settings, right? It starts running the way the people who made the machine expect it to run. And in the same way, many of us come to a point in our life where we say, you know, I'm tired of living my life the way the world says or the way I've decided. I want to live my life the way the Creator intended. I want to live my life the way God intended me for to live it. And we come to Christ and we hit the reset. We get to live through the power and strength of Christ living in us in such a way that we live in a way that actually pleases God. And so that's what we've been talking about over the past few weeks. So week one, we said reset your soul. Get right with God. Week two, we said reset your relationships. Get right with your neighbor. Love God, love your neighbor as yourself. So that was one and two. We had to get those. That's the right priority. Reset with God, reset with others. And then week three, we started unpacking the three gifts that God gives all of us. Time, treasure, and talent. Last week, we said reset your calendar. And then now this week, you wouldn't have come probably if you'd known this was the topic. I warned you, though. I told you last week. Reset your wallet. Reset your wallet. Because God cares. Guess what? God cares about what you do with your stuff. He cares how you spend your time, and he cares how you spend your money. Here's why. Because if I were to take a look at anyone in the room, if I were to take a look at your date book and your checkbook, I could tell a lot about what you care about. Because we spend time and money on the things we care about. Regardless of what we say our priorities are, they reflect our true priorities. And today I want to talk about how you can hit the reset button on your wallet. But first, let me give you the basis for this whole series. The basis for the series is found in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Just like those t-shirts that we had this morning for baptism. New life. The new has come. And not just a t-shirt, but a new heart and a new way of thinking. And that's what we're talking about today as we talk about this idea. Now look, according to author Randy Alcorn, he says 15% of everything Christ said relates to this topic, more than his teachings on heaven and hell combined. Why did Jesus put such emphasis on money and possessions? Because there's a fundamental connection between our spiritual lives and how we think about and handle money. We may try to divorce our faith and our finances, but God sees them as inseparable. So Jesus talked about this a lot. Therefore, guess what? We're going to talk about it because we just talk about what the book says. Now, we're going to do something a little unusual today. I say unusual because normally when someone speaks from Luke chapter 15, they're not focused on the money side. They're more focused on the relationship side between the prodigal son and his father. But today we're going to focus because it's filled with content about the possession, the wallet side of this. And that's the part we're going to dial in today. You know, Luke chapter 15 is where Luke, as he was writing this, he gathered together three of the lost stories that Jesus told. The lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son. And they were all found. And today I hope that you find Jesus, if you don't know him. And then I hope, finding him, you decide to follow him and live for him. And today we want to talk about how that impacts your wallet. Just a real practical message on that. So you ready? We're going to look at Luke chapter 15. Well, let's look at that one story about the prodigal son. Verse 11. And he said, this is Jesus teaching, there was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me. And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring quickly the best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet and bring the fattened calf and kill it and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they begin to celebrate. May God bless the reading of his word. Amen. Amen. May it penetrate to the very core of our souls. May we know this Father that would celebrate upon our return. Now let's look at how this impacts our wallet. First of all, I want us to notice the foolish financial thinking that leads to bankruptcy. Let's just notice the downward spiral of the son who went out on his own and spent his money the way the world advertises. And I'm just going to kind of identify some of those foolish ways of financial thinking that really we get from this culture today. It's not just this boy 2,000 years ago. We still have this. Notice some of these ways of thinking. I want what's mine. That's his first way of thinking that I want to identify. I want what's mine. Look at verse 12. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of property that's coming to me. I want what's mine. I can't wait for you to die for my inheritance. Give me my portion now. Which leads to the second way of thinking. I want it now. These are attitudes that we still have in our culture today. It's mine. Have you seen that movie where there's a bunch of them, right? The Tolkien movies. The Lord of the Rings movies. Remember the figure Sméagol or Gollum? He wants that ring. He wants the precious, right? And he goes, mine, like that. And it's twisted his soul, this desire. And if he wants mine, like that. I want it now. It's mine. You know that you've heard the promotions. 90 days, same as cash. Buy it now. Don't pay until next year. Into this attitude of now. I want it now. Third way of thinking that I see the prodigal son having in this downward spiral is how I spend my money is my business. Isn't that the American way? We tell everybody everything about us on Facebook publicly except our money. Now, we're not going to talk about that. That's my business. We don't want people to know. The younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country. In other words, he wanted to get away from his father so he could go spend his stuff the way he wanted to. He went to a far country. How about this one? I'll just put it on the credit card for now. Well, Gary, I don't see anything about a credit card in here. Where are you getting that? Well, I just kind of extrapolated from verse 13 where it says there he squandered his property. Because that's a good way to do it. Use a credit card to spend tomorrow's income today. That's a good way to squander it. Dave Ramsey says that 80% of college seniors have credit card debt before they ever have a job. Now here's why. If you go to a college campus today, you'll see tables set up at the freshman area as they register for their classes. There'll be a table for the sororities and tables for the fraternities and tables for all the clubs. And then the banks will all be lined up right there to sign you up for a credit card. You don't need a job. $500, $600, 1,000 credit cards sign up here. It sounds awesome till the bill comes in. They don't do it based on the student. They assume that the parents are good for it. And so they graduate with credit card debt and student loans and every kind of thing. We're teaching their children this. How about this next way of thinking? I can't do without blank. And the reason I said blank is because I don't know what you can't do without. Everybody has something they can't. I can't do without this. Verse 13, he says he spent it all. He squandered his property in reckless living. He couldn't do without, well, I don't know. It was reckless. Was it drink? Was it gambling? Was it prostitutes? Was it women? Or all of the above? Well, Gary, I don't waste money on stuff like that. Well, you know how you know the difference between men and boys? The price of their toys. Are you that grown man who still spends and squanders a large portion of your family's income on your toys? Big screen TV. You know, they got them now that curve so that there's not a bad seat in the room. Like, don't get your smartphones out and start looking for that thing now. Look, at least wait for me to finish preaching. But ladies, you're no better than the men. The men, it's all about technology and fishing, golf, hunting, sports, video games. They're toys. But women, they come home and they go, honey, I saved so much money today. And I say to her, if you hadn't spent anything, we would have saved so much more. If it's on sale, it was on sale. And we needed more stuff for the house. What about the stuff? Well, we're putting that in the garage for now. We'll have a yard sale. Hey, listen, it's men and women. I can't do without cable. I can't do without I need to be able to watch all of my favorite NFL teams. I can't do without this. I can't do without whatever that is. 65% of divorced couples, I would say higher in my experience, but according to this report, blame finances as the major reason for their divorce. I don't think that's true. I think it's a symptom. Underneath that is poor communication and expectations. But money becomes the trigger that they blame. A new truck or a big screen TV or curtains for the family room become more important than their marriage. I don't know where it all went. Here's the next attitude. I don't know where it all went. Verse 14, and when he had spent everything, like he looked in his sack, it seemed bottomless when he first got it, and there was nothing left in there. Where did it all go? You ever said that? Been on vacation, like open up your wallet and go, where did it all go? Like that. Where did it all go? 19% of those declaring bankruptcy are college students, probably because they got credit cards. Most people don't keep a budget or have no way of identifying how they've spent their money. This is just symptomatic of this attitude. I don't know where it all went. Here's another one that I seem to hear him saying. Who would have guessed the economy would go sour? Who would have guessed the economy would go sour? Verse 14, a severe famine arose in that country and he began to be in need. So look, on top of everything, he ran out of all of his money, he squandered everything, and then the economy crashed. Who would have thought? You know, wasn't planning on that. It's like, God, it was bad enough. Because now he's probably thinking it's God's fault. That's how people think. They don't seem to understand, not yet. He will eventually, but he's not at the bottom yet. He's still got a couple more steps before he hits bottom. Did you know, according to Dave Ramsey, 49% of Americans, if they were to lose their job, couldn't even cover 1 month's expenses. 97% of 65-year-old Americans can't write a check for $600. They don't have enough money to write a check for $600. They've lived their whole life, worked their whole life, and they don't have anything to show for it. Who would have guessed the economy would go sour? They were counting on some future event. Here's a couple more steps in his downward spiral. I can work myself out of this without any advice. I don't need any help. I can fix this. I can fix this. This is his last desperate attempt almost. You see it in verse 15? So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country. Now, he's Jewish, and pork is a sin for him to eat or go near or be around any kind of part of that. And now he hires himself out to a pig farmer. That's his plan. That's the job he could find in that down economy. That's where he's at. And then finally, his final state of mind is, I'm a victim and no one cares. Verse 16, he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate and no one gave him anything. He's at rock bottom, man. He's laying in the mud with the pigs, eating slop out of the trough next to him. right down there with the pigs. And he goes, nobody cares about me. Nobody's offering to help me. He hasn't quite yet admitted that he brought this on himself. He's not quite there, but boy, he's right there. Now let's get to the four steps to reset your wallet. You ready? I am. I'm tired of the downward spiral of broke thinking, of the kind of worldly American culture, you can have it now, thinking. Let's get some biblical wisdom. Four steps to reset your wallet. Are you ready? I need some good news. Here's number one. Decide to handle finances with godly wisdom. Make a decision right now. I'm getting off the downward spiral. I don't need to hit bottom before I wake up. Let me say something. If you stay on it, you will hit bottom. It's inevitable. Why not decide today? You don't have to hit bottom. You don't have to get in the pig trough. Come on out. Decide today to follow biblical wisdom, godly wisdom. Look at verse 17. Verse 17. This is the turnaround. But when he came to himself, another way would say this, when he came to his senses, he went, it stinks right here. Why am I down here in the pig trough? You know, what was I thinking? You know, it's like, I would be better off working for my dad. Forget being one who was a son. I'd be better off being, I mean, look, he has a wake-up call. My father's servants, they're better treated than I am right now. What was I thinking? So let's work that back out. Let's go back through those wrong ways of thinking real quick and see how he gets a wake-up call. So, I want what's mine. Instead of that, recognize God's ownership. What's the Bible say? If we're going to decide now to follow biblical wisdom, the world says it's mine. The Bible says it's God's. Psalm 24:1, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. That includes us. This body, this breath, everything about me, he made me. Everything I'm wearing, my wife, my kids, my grandkids. I told you I have another one now. Did I mention that? I'll try to work that in again. Watch. My house, my car, it's not really mine. It's his. And I'm the steward. I'm the manager. Recognize God's ownership. Number two, I want it now. Instead of that attitude, delay gratification. Learn to put it off. Wait for it. Wait for it. Be patient. Not I want it now. Proverbs 13:11, wealth from get-rich-quick schemes quickly disappears. If you get it easy, easy come, easy go. Y'all knew that. Preaching to the choir. How I spend my money is my business. That was his next way of thinking. Rather than that, be accountable as stewards of God's resources. Replace that with accountability. Be a steward. What's a steward? A manager. You don't own the store. You just manage the store for the owner. In Luke chapter 16, the next chapter, Jesus says, there was a rich man whose manager, whose steward was accused of wasting his possessions. So he called him in and asked him, what is this I hear about you? Give an account. God's going to ask you an account someday of how you handled his stuff. What'd you do with that spouse, that house, those kids, that car, that stuff I entrusted to you? How'd you use it? What'd you do with it? Here's the next one. I'll just put it on the credit card for now. Discipline your spending. Be disciplined. Credit cards can lead. Some people have the discipline to handle them, but if you don't have the discipline to handle them, you shouldn't even have one. You don't have the discipline to handle it. Proverbs 13:18, he who ignores discipline comes to poverty and shame, but whoever heeds correction is honored. Here's a quick truism. Poor people pay interest, rich people earn interest. That just immediately makes sense, doesn't it? Poor people pay interest, rich people earn interest. Here's another downward spiral biblical correction. I can't do without it, whatever it is. I can't do without whatever it is. Learn to be content with what you have. Philippians The Apostle Paul said this. He said, not that I was ever in need, for I've learned to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I've learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little. You know why Paul's able to say this? Because his contentment came from his relationship with Christ. It was not based on his stuff. True contentment. If your contentment comes from stuff, you're always going to need what? More stuff. And not just more, newer stuff. Because the new car smell wears off. I hear you can buy it in a can. New car smell can. Spray it in there. It's just not the same. I tried. It's not the same. If that's the only way you can be content, you've got to have new, better, more. I don't know where it all went, that attitude. I don't know where it all went. Instead of that, the biblical preference is to know your financial condition. To know it. Proverbs 27, be sure you know the condition of your flocks. Now, you're not shepherds and you don't have flocks, but whatever you manage, know its condition. Give careful attention to your herds, for riches do not endure forever. Be aware of your stuff. Know how much stuff you have and the condition of it. John Maxwell says, a budget tells your money where to go instead of you wondering where it went. Do you have a budget? Okay, four things. Four things that you should know according to biblical wisdom if you're going to keep condition, know the condition of your flocks, of your stuff. Number one, what you earn. You should know what you earn. Number two, you should know what you spend. Often when I'm doing marital counseling with a young couple, I will say, let me see how much you earn, how much you spend. They can kind of tell me pretty quick what they earn because they kind of have a handle on that, but then they have no clue what they spend. And I say, well, let's go back for the last 30 days and capture that, and they don't keep records, so we can't capture it. So then we have to start from zero and say, okay, start today keeping records, and I will give them some resources, either some hard copy stuff or references to online stuff, and say, start today keeping records, and then meet with me again next month, and we'll see, at least let's get 1 month of history so we know what your habit is. And guess what? We always find out there was more month than there was money. They're spending more than they make, and therefore they're in my office for marriage counseling. What they really needed was financial counseling. I don't know where it all went. Know what you earn, know what you spend, know what you own. That's usually a short list because the bank owns the stuff you think you own. Which leads to number four, know what you owe. What you earn, what you spend, what you own, what you owe. Do you know those four things? If I were to ask you right now, do you know those four things? You should know them. We're going to offer free tools. If you go to our website, go to our Facebook site, take the Reset Challenge. We're offering free tools again this week on how to reset your wallet. A lot of them we're getting from crown.org, which have website has a lot of great tools. And I also recommend you get a software program like Quicken for your computer to start keeping a better budget and better track. Or you can go online and get mint.com. That's what I use. I've been using it for some time. It's great. It's free. And just start plugging stuff in. And let it tell you what categories. Okay, you're spending this much on food, this much on clothes, this much on housing. And you just really start thinking. This is a really practical sermon. Don't you agree? Just getting really practical. Reset your wallet. Good way to start the year. Here's another thought that the prodigal had as he spiraled downward. He says, who would have guessed the economy would go sour? There was a famine in the land. Save for future needs would be the alternative way of thinking. Remember that proverb from last week? We talked about this one last week. The ant, consider its ways and be wise. It stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest. Why? So it's ready for the winter. So the ant, This is how Solomon would always write Proverbs. He would take the least. Little bitty ant has much wisdom, right? Little ant, big wisdom. Big human, little wisdom. He's contrasting, right? And he's saying, look at that little ant. God put in that little ant the wisdom to save during the plenty time of summer, because the little ant always knows that winter's coming. Well, Gary, that sounds pessimistic. No, that's realistic. That's called wisdom. That's just being ready. Be prepared. Money Magazine says that 78% of us will have a major negative financial event in any 10-month period of time. Aren't you glad you came to church today? In the next 10 months, 78, 8 out of 10, let's count off, 8 out of 10, okay? You, all of you are going to have a major financial event in the next, you get the next 2 months or 10 months off. You, major financial event coming. You too, you get the next 10 months off. Your heat pump's going to fail. Your transmission's going to blow up. Your roof's going to leak. You'll need to get your gallbladder out. And you'll find out that you, under a new insurance plan, you actually owe half of it. Aren't you glad you came to church today? But here's what the Bible says. The Bible's teaching us that you should be saving for winter, or for a rainy day, as it were. This is something you should be thinking about. Saving, preparing, having insurance, these kind of things. Okay, I can work myself out of this without advice. That was the next kind of downward spiral he had. Okay, I got this. It doesn't look good, but I'm not calling Dad because he'll just say, I told you so. I got this. I'm not going to ask for help. Instead, follow God's wisdom about wealth. Go find a counselor. Find somebody that can tell you what the Bible says and start following it. Instead of saying, I got this. Proverbs 8, I, wisdom, dwell together with prudence. I possess knowledge and discretion. I love those who love me, and those who seek me find me. With me are riches and honor and enduring wealth and prosperity. So find wisdom. Stop thinking you can do it yourself. Giving you alternative biblical ways. Decide today to follow the Bible rather than the world. Okay, now here's step number two. That one took a little longer because we had to get the prodigal back to his senses. That's where we were. Now we're at number two, step number two in resetting your wallet. Admit your sinful spending patterns. Look at verse 18. He says, I will arise and go to my Father. And I will admit, I will say, Father, I've sinned. In other words, say that to God. The way I've been handling your stuff is sinful. It's wrong. I need to stop. Just admit it. You could do that in prayer right now, right in your seat. You could say, God, I'm listening right now. My heart's, I got it. I need to stop. I need to straighten up. It's not just a bad habit. It's sinful. It's wrong. The book of Acts says, now's the time to change your ways. Turn to face God so He can wipe away your sins and pour out showers of blessing to refresh you. Listen, just say today, I've been handling this wrong. It's a sin. 90% of solving a problem is realizing that you have one. Number three. See, that didn't take long. We got step two out of the way. It stung. You have to find yourself in the pig pen before you'll say you're in sin. But you don't have to. The prodigal son had to, apparently. He finally woke up. I guess if you get your face down in the mud far enough, the only way to look is to look up. He looked up. He said, I've sinned. And then number three, choose to serve God with your finances. Look at verse 19. He's planning what he's going to say. Have you ever done that? Like, okay, I'm going to go back to my Father. This is what I'm going to say. I'm going to say, Father, I've sinned and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Like he's planning his appeal to his Father. In other words, he's saying, look, I don't deserve anything. I don't deserve to be called your son. Just let me serve you. I'm not claiming any rights. I'm just coming to you and everything's yours. Just can I live at your house? I don't have to live in your house. Could I just live out in with the servants? I mean, this is his plan. This is what he's saying. He's decided, from now on, I don't have anything, but if I ever have anything again, it's yours, God. I'm going to serve you with it. Matthew 6:33, Jesus talks about this attitude that you should have. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things, stuff, will be added to you. You'll have what you need. Put God first. Now, can I walk this out with you real quickly? These are my four priorities. And I'm a simple man, so I need simple priorities. Pay God first. Give Him the first 10%. Just give Him the first portion of your income. I'm just going to pay God first, off the top. I get paid on Monday. I try to write the check immediately after that, as soon as we deposit, and I stick it. I write the check, and I stick it on my dresser so my wife and I both see it as a confession of our belief and faith all week long that we believe God's first. If you come over to my house and sneak into my bedroom, you'll see a couple things. One is you'll see them frilly pillows that my wife has all over the bed. There are 9 of them. I told you 7. I counted them when I got home. I missed 2. One of them's a heart pillow. It's in the middle. You'll see the picture of my wife and I with me with long hair and bell bottoms. I'm sorry about that. And then you'll see, if it's every 2 weeks, you'll see that check. And I'm not advertising or anything. That's a confession between me and my wife. That's our 10%. We're giving that to God. He's first. Number 2, pay yourself second. A lot of people forget the first one. And believe it or not, a lot of people forget the second one with equal regularity. You should save. Pay God first, pay yourself second, then plan for a surplus. Number 3, plan for a surplus. Why? Because God might tap you on the shoulder and say, help them. Send that missionary. Help that homeless person. Touch that orphan. If you're spending more than you make, you'll have no surplus. And then finally, hey, here's the great part. Live off the rest. 4 priorities. Get a financial coach. Ask for some help. You might not be able to pull this off out of the gate as you walk out of here today, but set a date when you'll get there and begin to move towards it. Finally, number 4, begin obeying God with your finances now. Begin obeying God with your finances now. Look at verse 20. And he arose and came to his father. In other words, he got up out of that pig pen. He planned his speech down there next to the pigs. He's down there next to the pigs. Can you see him down there? Okay, I've got a plan. I'm going to go home to my father. I'm going to get out of this stench. I'm going to go home to my father and I'm going to say this. And then he stopped talking about it. He stopped complaining about it. He stopped saying, woe is me, I'm a victim. And he dusted himself off. And he wiped that pig slop off his face. And he said, I'm going to go see my daddy. Will you do that? Will you start today? Will you listen to God's word and obey and just say, you know what? It might be a long walk and there might be a lot of stuff to clean up, but I'm going to start today. I'm going to get this right. Proverbs says, free yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter, like a bird from the snare of the fowler. What's the context here? Solomon is saying, get free from debt. You're trapped. Get free. Mark Twain said, the secret of getting ahead is getting started. Nike said, you guys know your commercials. If only we all knew the Bible as well as we know commercials. Nike actually got that one right, just do it. I like that. But boy, there's so many others telling us you can have it now. And it's just not so. Sometimes you need to be patient. Our financial condition is connected to our spiritual condition. Jesus says it is. They're connected. How are you doing in that area today? Are you ready to reset your wallet? And some of you are here today and your spiritual condition is where you should start. This is great information, but before you can follow biblical advice, you need the Holy Spirit living in your life to give you instruction on a day-by-day basis on how to live this out. You can't break these habits. You can't hit the reset button without Jesus. He is your reset button. Do you know Him? Here's how this story finishes. He arose and came to his father, and while he was still a long way off, maybe his father was sitting on the front porch, and he looked out there. He'd been looking every day for who knows how long, and he saw a silhouette coming up over the horizon. He was thinking, that looks like my son. That looks like my boy. You see that? While he was still a long way off, his father saw him, and he felt compassion and ran. Can you see the father pulling up his robes around his hips so that he can get his legs free, and he goes running those old legs, those old dusty feet with those sandals on them, just flip-flopping down the road? Can you see the father? He ran and embraced him and kissed him, and he said, the son said to him, "Father, I've sinned." He started giving his plan. He falls down around his knees to his father. And he starts giving, "Father, I've sinned against heaven, and before you I'm no longer worthy to be your son." And he just grabs him. He doesn't even get to finish. The father grabs him and said to his servants, "Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this was my son. I thought he was dead. He's alive. I thought he was lost, and he's found." And that's how the Father will welcome us, if we'll just come to our senses and hit the reset. Let's pray. God, thank you that you're waiting right now on the front porch watching for us. Would you come? Would you come to me? Well, would you? Right where you are, would you say yes? I believe in your son, Jesus. I believe he died on the cross, rose from the grave, lives today. Come into my life. I need to start over. I need a fresh start. Come into my life. Forgive me my sins. I want you to live in me. Make me the kind of person you want me to be. I want to follow you, Jesus. I want you to be my Lord and Savior. If you'll pray that prayer, believing the Scripture promises that he'll save you and you'll become a child of God, the Father will welcome you. He'll forgive you. Others are here today, and you know the Father's love, but you haven't been following His wisdom. And you're in trouble financially. Would you just admit that right now? Would you just confess that? What area have convicted you? What attitude from the world would you say that, "Oh man, that's me"? Just confess it to Jesus right now and say, "I need help. Forgive me of my sin. Help me to start today. I want to go home with my spouse, with my family, with whoever, with my business partner, and I want to align my finances according to biblical wisdom." We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.